From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when a 14-year-old girl signed up to participate in a civic training program run by her congressman. Lauren Pearl attended that program to learn how to lobby, how to canvass, how to phone bank. She recently told the New York Times that this experience started her fascination with the political system. And she found that in some ways our system rises to a high democratic standard, but in other ways, not nearly enough. Pearl is now 21 years old, a senior at Harvard, and she joined the young adults from around the world just over a month ago at the Athens Democracy Forum. At 21, she is building a resume already. She co-founded and was a co-director of the Equal Rights Amendment Centennial Convention in Seneca Falls in July of 2023. And she's a co-founder of BallotWise, which, in short, is a voter education site. Users can enter their zip code anywhere in the country and see the races on their ballot, not just the top of the ticket. Voters can get access to a candidate's own voting record. Pearl's been working on BallotWise with colleagues, and this hour, we asked them to come on the program. If they are successful with BallotWise, it could become a central hub for voters, especially undecided voters, to truly get to understand a candidate's record. And today, one day before the polls close on 2024, there are tens of thousands of Americans who remain undecided. It's true, they are making their choice. Many of the undecided say it has been difficult for a list of reasons. Well, let's talk about it with our guest this hour. Lauren Pearl is the co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise. Lauren, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored and excited to be here.
Welcome to Ayub Abdulrazak, who is co-founder and CTO of BallotWise. Ayub, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks. Great to be on the show.
And Logan Della Van Hoover is co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise as well. Hello, Logan.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Lauren, let me start with you. Just take me back a little bit here, because you know you've already done quite a bit at 21 years old. Why have you been so invested and so interested in the American political system?
That's a great question. So as you mentioned, I'd like to say that I come from a family where civic engagement was always really prioritized. I come from a family where, for example, my father at the age of 14 told me that he recently took his father's car without a driver's license to drive it to a protest to put milk in the eyes of tear gassed protesters. And so I come from a family where civic engagement has always been prioritized and valued. And this is something that I started to adopt as my own personal mantra and philosophy at about 14. I saw that my local member of Congress was hosting an educational program for college students and high schoolers to learn about how to best engage in the political system. And I was interested in doing the service because of my deep commitment to public service, but also my deep love and commitment to my own personal community. And for example, the local politics of Montgomery County, Maryland. And I thought that this would be a great opportunity to jump into that system. And so I was immediately hooked by the empowerment that I personally felt as I was taught how to phone bank lobbying and canvass for causes and candidates who aligned with my values. And since then, I've been deeply committed to teaching others to do the same. And I'm really grateful that I have not only had familial support in this endeavor, as politics has been the core center of my passion and professional and academic ambitions for the past 8 years, but also I'm grateful for the professional, academic, and social support systems that I have had in order to make the changes that I so desperately want to create in the world.
Lauren, in a moment, we're going to talk a lot more about BallotWise. I just want to get your sort of the 30,000-foot view as you look at the American electoral system. You know, you're voting in a presidential election, I think, for the first time. And, you know, do you feel like you are participating in a system that is healthy?
That is a great question. So I personally think that American democracy, like most democracies around the world right now, whether it's German democracy, French democracy, Indian democracy, I think that we are seeing currently nations around the globe struggling. And I think that there are multiple factors that make it difficult for people to participate in the political system. For for example, there is misinformation that permeates that makes it difficult for people to know what is actively true about the headlines they are reading and about what is happening in these hallowed halls of government. And I think it's also really important to mention how difficult it is to break into the political system, and that is very deliberate. As I'm sorry to keep bringing things back to my family, but I come from a family where, like I said, we have this culture of egalitarian values. And so my family has always tried to be engaged in the political system. And then if I were to ask any of my college-educated siblings or parents to find, let's say, the voting record of their senator on homelessness, they would not know how to find that direct voting record. And even if they did, they wouldn't know how to necessarily break down the legalese in those policies. If you do not know how your members of Congress are voting, and if you do not know what it means that they are voting on, there is no way that you can be an informed voter. And so by that metric, democracy may be healthy in terms of people being able to participate, but it's not healthy in the sense that people are not necessarily fully cognizant or aware of the choices that they are making. But even so, only 2/3 of the general public is currently planning on voting in this election. And so that leaves you wondering, who are the people that are making the choice not to vote in this election and why? Is it because of, for example, mobility issues, getting to the polls because of the actual locations in which polling is set? Is it due to financial burdens that things like voter ID laws may pose? Like, people do not feel like it is financially possible for them to take off of work and have an ID as they go about this process. Is it because they simply feel as if the governmental system has let them down in so many ways that they feel as if their vote doesn't matter? There are so many reasons why people feel as if our American democracy has failed them. And if that is their reality, then that is a depiction that our democracy is not working for everyone.
Well, let me ask your colleagues a little bit about how they see things working or not working. And Logan, as the co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise, again, all of our guests have such interesting resumes. If you hear me describe them as young people, it's only because they're younger than me, which is a lot of people now. And they are very accomplished at a young age, really trying to get to work on very, very difficult and often intractable problems. Logan, how healthy do you think our system is right now?
I would say that American democracy is, of course, one of the oldest democracies in the world, and one that we would hope can function as an example to the rest of the world. But at the moment, I would agree with Lauren that, like many other democracies in the world, and in a linked manner, we're struggling. Part of that is that many voters feel that the actions of their politicians don't reflect what they actually wanted them to do or what they voted them into office to do. Often when those cases are very publicized, then that can demoralize voters and make them feel that there's not a purpose in going to the polls, as we saw with how there's a huge section of the voting public not planning on voting. But sometimes when politicians act in ways contrary to what they were elected to do, that passes under the radar. For example, the border bill that recently went through Congress contains a number of priorities that were being promoted by politicians who were on the by Republicans in the chamber who are on a more hawkish side of the immigration debate. But then when they voted against it, how much coverage did all of that, did those votes receive when it came to their own constituents? And there's examples like this on both sides of the aisle, but that's just a strong and more recent one. So what we want to do here is, in order to help the health of democracy and in order to help this information more directly reach the voters so that they can hold their own politicians accountable and that their actions can reflect what they're voted into office to do. We want it to be easier for voters to see every one of those actions, or as many as they can, on the issues that matter to them. And hopefully this will increase the health of our democracy by making it more representative.
Okay, well, same question for Ayub. Ayub, how do you feel about the health of the system now?
I agree with Logan that I think we should be an example to the world of a healthy and good democracy. But right now, I don't think we're quite there. As an example, while I was working on this, you know, I showed some of my friends, you know, the people on their ballot, and some of the bills on there, and I asked them, "Do you know any of these people?" And they said, "No, I don't." And I asked them, "You know, do you know what any of these bills were? Do you know how they voted on any of these issues?" And they said, "No, I had no clue." And you know, as I asked more people and I talked to more people and I looked into it, you know, I realized like I and the other people really didn't know a lot about, you know, how things were going, you know, how people were voting on things, you know, the different positions any of these politicians had besides their party. And I don't know if that really indicates, you know, a strong, healthy democracy right now. I think we're in a position right now in America that's, you know, really transitioning towards, you know, a better place. And I think right now we're not in the best place, I think, because a lot of people, because they don't know these things, they don't know how they should engage. You know, they don't know how they should be engaging with these politicians when they don't actually know a lot about who they are, about how they're voting, you know, about like where they stand, where their state stands, you know, what the landscape is for a lot of these issues. And I think that really permeates, you know, a sense of uncertainty and confusion that I think isn't good in a democracy. So I think we are struggling, and I think BallotWise is trying to help with that.
Talking to the team behind BallotWise, Ayub Abdulrazak, Logan Delavan Hoover, Lauren Pearl, all with us this hour. And listeners, if you decide to go check out BallotWise, as I did, you know, you can enter your zip code. And I'm reading some of what Lauren told the New York Times. BallotWise reflects the desire to get beyond just a presidential race, although, of course, presidential race is on there. But Lauren told the New York Times that, Lauren, you said, "It frustrates me that people think of the actions of the president and senators are light years more important than what is happening in their state house or at their school board meetings." And with that in mind, you said, "BallotWise shows the legislative record of political candidates from the state house to the White House." And true to form, I put my zip code in. I saw all the races that are on the ballot, not just at the top of the ticket. So why don't you describe a little bit about the goal here, and then we'll talk about the function of BallotWise.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question. So I staunchly believe that all politics are local, right? I'm a staunch believer that the personal is political, that, for example, local politics, which decide public transportation, which decide education funding, which decide environmental policies, are far more frequently the direct impacts that constituents will see on a daily basis. And so that being said, the actions that are the things that are being debated in the halls of Congress are can frequently feel so far away. For example, as Logan brought up earlier, there are these debates about, you know, for example, the southern border. Is that a debate that is, for example, impacting voters in Rochester on a daily basis? The southern border, right? In terms of the impacts that are happening on a daily basis, I think that local politics is a great way to ensure that people feel that their government is listening to them and their government is receptive. And so this being said, when BallotWise, what BallotWise aims to do is ensure that people are able to elect the candidates who best support their values. And so we are trying to enable people to understand what's going on with their local politics, with their state politics, so that they have the ability to hold these people accountable, to whether at the ballot box or through advocacy endeavors, to make the change that they wish to see in the world. Because, for instance, if you do not know what is going on in your state house, you are unable to advocate for policies that you'd be interested in? How can you know, for example, how, because I'm from Maryland, I'm going to use a Maryland example, both the Maryland State House has repeatedly neglected to give Baltimore appropriate levels of funding as it does other counties and other cities, right? If you are a Baltimore resident, you need to know exactly where that funding is going and how your community is being underserved. So that way you can transform that knowledge into power, either at the ballot box or through lobbying appointments, through new op-eds, through protests, through direct organizing, so that you can make sure that your voice is heard by the man behind the curtain, that there is no curtain for this man to hide behind.
So let me ask all of you then, you know, when I used the tool, the one thing I did notice is for candidates who have not already been elected to office, there was just a notification there that, you know, no voting record, look up their individual websites, et cetera. And, you know, does that disadvantage candidates who haven't already held office? And does that make it difficult for voters to research candidates who haven't already held office? I'll start with Lauren on that.
Absolutely. That was a very deliberate choice on our end, because BallotWise was founded to enable people to see beyond the rhetoric. I frequently joke that so many political slogans remind me of a fifth grade student government campaign promise. Ice cream in the dining halls, you know, recess all day. And so that being said, BallotWise exists so that you can make decisions based on actual actions and policies. Because frequently, the policies that a person says that they support do not agree with their actual records. For example, and this is one of the things that inspired me to create BallotWise, Democratic, well, technically independent Senator Bernie Sanders, he claims to be this, you know, champion of gun violence prevention efforts. But if you look at Bernie Sanders' record, he did reject and veto the Brady Bill, which is a comprehensive gun violence prevention piece of legislation. He rejected that bill multiple times, right? And I think that having that knowledge is more important than the campaign website. And so that being said, given that we are focused on records and we are focused on holding people accountable for the actions that they have directly taken, we are unable to show that actions for people who have not previously been in a position of political power. We wanted to be consistent and we wanted to have that standard operating procedure, because if we're not, we can't compare apples with oranges, you know, statements with actual records. We are comparing records with records.
Ayub, let me ask you the same question. I mean, Charles wrote in to say he's using the tool and he found that part of it a little scant on information, but, you know, that's his perspective, looking for more information on candidates, for example, the Republican running against Congressman Joe Morelli, a Democrat in office. So you want to take us through a little bit more of that decision on how to configure this website?
Yeah. I can take that. I think so at the end of the day, like Lauren said, I think part of our mission statement is that actions do speak louder than words. I think voters, a lot of the people we've talked to, a lot of the users we've talked to have said that, you know, they feel that people say one thing, but they don't know if they can believe them. We think that the strongest way to indicate what, you know, candidates, you know, representatives, what these people actually think are the actions they've taken. And so, you know, on a fundamental level, there is sort of an issue with, you know, comparing, you know, candidates who say, you know, I believe this, 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 and this, and, you know, I'll support these things for my constituents. But then, you know, on the other side, we're showing what the people who are, you know, in office actually were doing, which we are, I do agree with Lauren, it's a bit apples to oranges. But I agree with you that we don't want to disadvantage any candidates. And this is a, you know, this is an issue in the current system that we are actually, you know, actively working to, you know, try to go against. So we are working with services right now to collect more external information on these candidates so we can display things for all the candidates, you know, to try to give some information for all the people. But as our statements on the site say, when you do try to see those, we do actively encourage people to, you know, do some more research on those candidates. You know, as we populate some more information on websites and such, on information that you can find on those candidates, then people will have a better view of all of the candidates on their ballot.
Anything you want to add there, Logan?
I'd like to add that I wouldn't say that it disadvantages candidates who are incumbents when they're running and they are have their records displayed. I would say it advantages. Sorry, we don't want to have side to side an action from one candidate and a statement from another. Because a candidate can say, I was limited by these particular abilities, but I was able to get this done, and this shows that this was a priority for me. When you have a candidate who is running against that, who has statements, that candidate can say, as Lauren said, I want recess to be all day and there to be ice cream in the lunchroom. When you put those two side to side, it doesn't tend to appear to be a fair comparison. So in order to improve the information that we're giving, and in order to make BallotWise really reflect what candidates stand for when you get down to it at the end of the day, we had to make that decision. But as Ayub said, we are working on expanding information that we can provide for as many candidates as possible. And in future iterations, we are hoping to be able to provide even more data than we do now.
Talking to Logan Delavan Hoover, Ayub Abdulrazak, Lauren Pearl, the team behind BallotWise, which you can find now, and you're hearing some of the motivations between how it is constructed. It is not just about a presidential race. It is about educating voters about what is up and down their ballots, and that's part of the reason that we on this program interview any candidate that's going to be on your ballot to the best of our ability, because we frequently hear from listeners who feel like they are underinformed or don't get really good substantive looks at candidates. Now, a 51-minute interview is different than just looking at a voting record, but as you just heard Lauren and Ayub and Logan say, they want to get beyond slogans and rhetoric and just give you the information. What did a person do? You know, we've often heard the mantra, don't report so much of what people say, report what they do. And that is what this team is trying to do here. I see the phone ringing. We can get to some of your feedback in just a second. In fact, let me start with an email from Tim, who wants to know, is this a tool designed to push voters to the left? All right, Lauren Pearl is co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise. Tim wants to know, did you create this tool to push voters to the political left?
That question is making me smile. Absolutely not. BallotWise is a tool that is designed to be nonpartisan. And I think it's really important to emphasize that we have received vastly bipartisan support. I think it's important to mention that one of our closest advisors in creating this has been Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson. We have worked closely with, for example, students from across the aisle. For example, we have had numerous instances of feedback with, for example, the president of the Harvard Republican Club. We are truly working diligently to capture feedback on our bill descriptions and on our methodology from people of various educational backgrounds, people of various political ideologies, people from different age groups and racial demographics and different levels of political engagement, period. And so that being said, I think that we have gone through and really tried to avoid any partisan bias, which is why we have an incredibly strong standard operating procedure that we follow to select bills. And we have a standardized procedure as well for creating and drafting these bill descriptions. And for bills, for topics that are, for example, more nuanced, more hot button, we did experience some real mental gymnastics and mental hurdles in terms of figuring out how to discuss certain issues. Like, for example, reproductive justice and abortion rights are things that we struggled in terms of finding wording that we thought people on all sides of the aisle would agree with. And through ample consultation, we are very proud of the nonpartisan product that we have been able to put forth. And we have received endorsements from everybody from, like I said, the New York Times to former Fox News anchor Greta Van Susteren, which proves that we are appealing to users and voters across the aisle. And I am very proud that we have been able to create a service that is for everybody, because BallotWise is a service that was designed with the user in mind. I am somebody who, as I said, comes from a politically engaged background. I know how to find this information and how to find the candidates who best agree with my ideologies. I am not trying to convince you to vote a specific way. If you look at this and one policy convinces you to vote one way and convinces me to vote the other, that proves that we have done our job correctly. And that is the goal with BallotWise. And we are continually learning and growing throughout this process, but we have a staunch commitment to nonpartisanship.
All right, let me grab a phone call from Mark in Webster. Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Evan. This is Mark Johns. I thought I'd call in.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead.
Look, I'm not sure what, you know, what the website covers, but I can tell you we need real reform in this country, in this state, in this country. And it all starts with term limits. And I know all the Democrats are against term limits. And unfortunately, so is the vast majority of Republican elected officials. Because if you're not a TLC or a term limits candidate, who are you for? You're for yourself, right? You care about getting reelected. In New York State, we're 2-1 Democrat. I understand that. But are you telling me that the members of the state delegation, the state assembly or Senate, that they're more concerned about Kamala Harris or Trump? No, they're more concerned about themselves. The Democrats in New York, I'm using them as an example because they're in the majority, they would not give up one of their seats in order to keep, Trump out of office. It's all about self-preservation. And that's just human nature. And that's the reason why real reform starts with term limits. Because once you get that, you can't keep running forever for the same position. Then we can get things like independent redistricting, campaign finance reform. Both parties are bought by the big money. And, you know, if somebody's giving you money, you go into the grocery store, you give them money, you expect something in return. And that's not good government. And I don't care what people say they stand for, like your guests are talking about. Look what they do. You had Jill Stein on your show back in April or May. She did a great job of pointing out exactly what in her case, the Democrat Party. But there's phonies on both sides of the aisle, right? My side, the Democrat side, you name it. So, you know, it starts with voting for term limits candidates, and then it goes on to independent redistricting, et cetera, real campaign finance reform. Otherwise, you get career politicians that are bought and paid for, and they stay bought and paid for.
Mark, as always, thank you very much for the phone call. A little bit of background for our guests who are joining us on the line. As the team behind BallotWise, which you can find now, Lauren Pearl, Ayub Abdulrazak, and Logan Delavan Hoover. Mark on the line is a former New York State member of the Assembly and a current member of the Monroe County Legislature, and he has spoken for years about the need for term limits, among many other reforms. And so, I'll start with Logan here as the co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise. What he's talking about are very specific issues. I suspect if there have been bills or ways to track how people have, at various levels of government have voted on issues like that, BallotWise would be able to show you. Is that right? Do we have Logan? Might be on mute. There's Logan. There's Lauren. Let's go ahead, Lauren. Yep.
Yes. Sorry, I, Logan, I'm not meaning to usurp your answer. I am sorry that there's a technical difficulty occurring. So to answer your question, Mark, because I think this is a really good question, BallotWise is a tool that aims to increase transparency and accountability within the American political system. And we, for example, are not the ones in elected office making political changes such as term limits, which I actually have seen increasingly be something that is discussed within politics for everything from the Supreme Court to Congress, because I think people are becoming increasingly aware of the power of incumbency and how incumbency serves as an inherent advantage within the political system. But what I would say about the power of incumbency is that that is derived from the ignorance that is so deeply rooted within the American political system, because the political system is designed to be inaccessible and people don't know how to figure out what their legislatures are doing in their governing bodies. And so by giving people the tools necessary to hold these people accountable, I do believe that we are, for example, working towards the same goal that you are advocating for, which is combating the power of incumbency so that we can personally have progress within the American political system. And by having progress, we can really work to make sure that our representatives support the values of their constituents.
I think we've got Logan back if he wants to weigh in too. Go ahead, Logan.
Hi. Sorry about that. I do seem to have accidentally pressed mute. I just wanted to thank Mark for his question and say that, yes, we would love to. We are helping to support democracy reform, or to inform voters of democracy reform candidates by including our democracy section among our 10 issues. So when candidates that support ranked choice voting are on the ballot, or who support term limits, or who support all sorts of other different reforms to the way in which we are going to elect our representatives and make policy, then those candidates can be rewarded for that much more easily and efficiently by voters who support those same reforms, because their actions are all going to be visible on the ballot. While we've been going through data and bills from across the country, I've seen a lot of very interesting democracy reform bills and a lot of interesting election security bills, and have been happy to include many of them in our system.
And anything you want to add there, Ayub?
Basically just echoing what Logan said. I mean, Mark, you say that you care about term limits. You know, we've designed our platform so that things you care about, there are issues that correspond on our website that you can see and that you can follow to know what you care about, the candidates that, you know, you want to or don't want to vote for. So if you care about term limits, then, you know, you should go and see, look at those things, look at the information we have under that democracy banner there, and then see, you know, do I like this candidate? Do I not? You know, that's sort of the heart of the platform. You know, like, you sort of pick out what you care about, what issues matter to you, and then you can use us as a springboard, basically, to understand what you think you're going to do on your ballot.
And let me just squeeze in one more question before we get to our only break of the hour. Listener says, I'm looking at the foreign policy section on Trump. There is no entry on Ukraine. I think that is an important issue that should be covered. So, Ayub, what would you say to a listener who's saying, hey, where's Ukraine and Trump there?
So what I'd say about that is that we work pretty hard to cover a wide swath of issues and a wide swath of information. In order to make things digestible, we do have to sort of think about what we do and don't include. And we work pretty heavily with our teams across, you know, diverse political backgrounds to make sure that the things we're representing are not biased in any way. But yeah, we will take that feedback into account, and we do take user feedback into account all the time on things that they want to include. There are a lot of things for the presidential candidates in terms of things they've done, things they've talked about, in contrast with some of these other candidates. So in order to – there's a balance, there's a trade-off we are always, you know, working with in terms of things being easy to understand and things being, you know, enough to digest, and also, you know, giving you the information you need to sort of empower you on your ballot. But we appreciate that feedback, and thank you for the question.
All right, let's take our only break of the hour. We're coming right back. We've got more listener feedback as well. BallotWise is what we're talking about. You can find it now, and the team behind BallotWise is with us this hour. We're right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, a data analyst, someone who can help us understand the votes as they come in, how to get ready for election night, how to not to overreact or underreact, but to know what to expect and what it means. In our second hour, talking about a study testing treatments to reduce anti-democratic attitudes and to reduce partisan animosity. Does it work? Talk with you Tuesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I want to ask Ayub a separate question, a little bit outside of BallotWise, but Ayub Abdulrazak is the co-founder and CTO, the Chief Technology Officer of BallotWise, and you've got such an interesting resume, and I want to ask you about how you have attempted to do some of the things that you and your teams have done. For example, your team leveraged technology to create a news aggregation platform that helps users evaluate media and take control of their news feed. I would love to hear a little bit from you, Ayub, about how we are consuming news and how tech can either help or hurt us. I guess I'm curious to know how it works first, because I don't trust myself. I think I probably overly curate my own feed and miss some things I should see. Everything is so fragmented. Take us through a little bit of that, if you could.
Yeah, sure. I can definitely tell you that thing. Thank you for the question. So at the heart of it, what that research was sort of working with was sort of the premise that people, you know, in the digital age, you know, today, we're constantly being inundated with news and information from a lot of different sources. And it's hard for people to sort of keep track of who they do and don't trust in this system. So what the research was sort of getting at was, what if we sort of scope it down a little bit? I let you, you know, curate, you know, people that you have grown to trust, you know, people you know, or, you know, politicians or celebrities or public figures or, you know, people who you've already had the time to sort of get to know and understand, you know, and trust. Sort of there is that user choice aspect there. And then, you know, using that, you know, leveraging that network of people who you say you trust, sort of letting that news filters through that network so that you end up getting things that, you know, you believe and are trustworthy, and you're not being, you know, covered with, you know, information and news from a lot of sources, which all of them have some vested interest. So that's sort of what the research is getting at. But how we do that is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, but how we do that is basically, you know, we sort of form this network of people. You know, you can find people on the platform who are using it. You can send it to other people you know. And if you trust them, then you can, you know, say you trust them. And then, you know, things that news sources will come up, and then people will sort of say whether they trust it or distrust it. And then they can say how. And then it's sort of, you know, the platform is basically working off that to sort of produce, you know, a feed for you that you think is a little bit more close to home, a little bit more trustworthy.
I mean, I admire the effort. I am a little nervous about how we are siloing news curation just based on ideology. And I wonder if you think that this kind of tech now and in the future can help with that, or are we going to end up more siloed?
Yeah, I super agree with you on that. Thank you for the question. We raised that on the research team a few times. I had a lot of discussions around that. So it's definitely something we're aware of and working with. Something we realized sort of working on that project was that, you know, when we have a little better control over like what aspects of, you know, user choice are there, you know, there are things we can do even to combat things like that. Because, you know, we realize, you know, at a certain point, if I know that these are people that you say you trust, you know, the platform could, for example, you know, sometimes surface things to you from, you know, other people, or sometimes surface things that, you know, might be a little bit outside of the radius, you know, to sort of like expand, you know, how people are thinking. And so sort of like once we've taken control a little bit of like what we know about people's, you know, who they trust and what they know, then we can sort of work to combat some of those problems a little bit better. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Look, I'm optimistic that we will find a better way as a society. I'm not totally optimistic. There are days I'm optimistic and there are days where I am cynical and almost nihilistic. But I think the fragmentation of media has been really, has had a really deleterious effect on our ability to have kind of shared reality and shared experience. And I'm nervous about that in the future. So I admire the effort here. I hope it works. And thank you for explaining. Listen, listeners, that wasn't even on the menu. I just was looking down Ayub's resume, and I thought, boy, if this works, this is going to be very, very important. But we are in a tough spot. Everything is so fragmented, and a lot of voters are frustrated. People are frustrated about where to get information or what's reliable. That's part of the reason that BallotWise was created in the first place. And it is available now. Lauren Pearl, Ayub Abdulrazak, Logan Delavan Hoover, all with us talking about BallotWise and why they created it in the first place. Let me grab a phone call. Bonnie in Rochester. Hi, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Hi. This is, of course, is an important subject. What I have observed in the last couple of years is quite scary, and that is that there is almost no open meeting, face-to-face dialogue between involving the city, involving the county, the whole group. Part of it you can say that's pandemic, but that is not really that valid anymore, and it's gotten to a point of really very serious. And the only thing that actually happens monthly is when the city council has their meetings. They have one for go talk to the council. Well, that lasts now. It went from a 2-minute only to a 3-minute only. And there is no feedback from the people, the council, that's it. So basically, that example is about the only one that still is around. One of the elected people at the state level told me, I'm not going to use the name, but told me that he doesn't meet with individuals anymore. Okay? Now, here's the other thing. I don't know if people know in the net offices there. They cover 250 neighborhood organizations. And unfortunately, the mayor had decided on his own to make some changes there without going through such a process. So it's up in the air. It's still in existence. But that group should be getting all the information that comes from the county, comes from the city, because it covers these neighborhoods. Then when you have neighborhoods covered better, you can go a lot further with this stuff. People need a dialogue. You don't just, hear something for 2 minutes and say, oh, well, I don't know if I like that or not. Goodbye. And it's almost non-existent. And the other, I'll add one more thing. When you go to city council, you can no longer just go, and usually there's a security person there. And if you want to, you want to talk to somebody and they're happy to be in, you can't do that anymore. The city, the police are still in the entrance, and someone told me, well, they're going to be there forever. So you blocked out or made more difficult one of the other contacts for communication. But trust me, I followed this for a while. It is absolutely disgusting, and it's a major factor in what's going on. Grassroots democracy it should be the core of a lot of these issues, because they increase dialogue, all the things you want to do, and you connect different parts of government. I try to call the county about a number of issues, the highway safety stuff. There used to be somebody answers the phone, didn't do much, but there's not even anyone that answers the phone anymore. It feels like it's a stray field of nothing.
Well, Bonnie, just let me just jump in and thank you not only for the phone call, but there's a lot of passion, a lot of frustration there. And there is something I think actually pretty pertinent to what the team from BallotWise is doing. And here's how I see that part of it. Number one, Bonnie's concern about transparency, access of citizens is vital. She is right. We cannot have a society that cannot get information, that cannot get transparency. It's one of the reasons that I think the collapse of a lot of local newsrooms has been so powerful and so painful for this country, because we've got a New York Times and a Washington Post, but those mid and small size papers, we need people covering community meetings, we need people covering city council meetings, the legislatures, etc. So on the journalism side, that's my pitch there. But Bonnie's talking about grassroots work, which she's been doing for years, and there is a lot of frustration about lack of access, being kept out, not getting information. Now, where it relates to BallotWise, BallotWise is collating how candidates have voted and have trackable records there. And I'm curious, Lauren Pearl, who is the co-founder and co-CEO of BallotWise, you know, some of what Bonnie is talking about would show up on the ballot, on ballot wise, but some of it is just helping people understand what is happening in the day to day, week to week, month to month of a democracy. And, you know, it might not always appear on what you guys are working on. How do you see it, Lauren?
Absolutely. I just want to start off by saying I hear your pain and your frustration when it comes to the lack of accessibility in local politics. And frequently, I would also like to say the lack of accessibility when it comes to meeting with these people. And a personal anecdote that I will share was I was 14 and I was not 14, I was 16 at the time, and I was meeting with a local city council member about an agriculture policy. And he said, "Thank you so much for this. Is there any other issue you would like to raise?" And I bring up an issue about the school system that was very commonly discussed within my school. It was one of the number one issues that the youth activist groups that were countywide were talking about. And he goes, "Huh. I've never heard of that. You think that would be really easy for us to fix. Why haven't we fixed that?" And I quite literally, I know this is rude, but I laughed because I could not fathom that an issue that was so important to me and my peers was not on this man's radar. And it was because he had failed to make himself accessible to youth to hear our concerns. And so I think that that is where BallotWise comes into play, is that we are this accountability tool. We show you these voting records so that you have the ability to voice your disdain for candidates' political actions, whether you want to write them and say, "I saw that you voted yes on this bill, and here is how that is directly harming me and my family," or you have the ability to channel that anger at the ballot box. And I feel strongly that this tool can help increase the accountability and accessibility of politics so that local politicians, state politicians, can best support their constituents, because their constituents will be well-versed in talking politics with them.
Lauren, just a quick follow-up here on the way that BallotWise works. Jillian writes in to say, expanding on the Bernie Sanders voting record on the Brady bill, does BallotWise give the reasons he didn't support it? She goes on to say she has her guesses for why he would vote that way, and she thinks it might be misinterpreted. I don't think that you're just giving people the votes, right? You're not saying here was the press conference and the reason.
Yes, that's a great question. So because we at BallotWise, this is actually something that we considered heavily in terms of, should we show the reasons why candidates voted against specific bills? You know, for example, there are some politicians who would vote against the bill that is Democratic because it is not far enough left for them. And same with certain Republicans. You know, they want to advocate for a bill that is a step further. It's not that they fundamentally disagree with the information of the bill. But that being said, that falls into the speculation category. It falls into the rhetoric category. It does not fall in the direct action camp. And we think that there are so many diverse reasons why candidates will vote against the bill. You know, Congressman Jamie Raskin is famous for saying, "If you agree with a candidate on every issue, congrats, you're the candidate." And that's because he's saying nobody will agree with you 100%. And so if we were to put counter reasons under each bill, you know, for example, saying some of the most reasons for voting against the Inflation Reduction Act are X, Y, and Z, we do not want people applying those statements to candidates where that might not be the full picture.
Sure,
because it might be a political alliance behind the scenes that is preventing their full sponsorship, right? And so that being said, we are here to give you the facts. We are not here to speculate. We are not here to give you the rhetoric. And that's exactly what we do.
Jillian, thank you for the email. We're down to about our last minute. And I want to ask Logan as we get ready to close here. A lot of talk about helping people become better educated on the records. We've talked, and we talked last hour about how people of different age cohorts vote or don't vote, and people who happen to be around your age, Logan, vote in smaller numbers. Do you think a tool like BallotWise going forward will encourage more people to feel empowered to actually vote when in the past they have not voted?
I would say absolutely. One of the trickiest things about going to the polls is often researching your candidates. Something that Lauren told me once that helped inspire her to start this and has inspired me as well is we both have friends that sometimes text us and ask, I want to vote, but I don't really know much about the candidates. I might know what I want for president, but I don't know anything about anyone else down ballot, so I don't know where to vote or where to get that information. And I will say, here's some information, here is what I might recommend for the issues that you care about. But we can't have that as the system for everyone's poll research at the end of the day.
Well,
so I would say it would. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank our guests for telling us about BallotWise. Logan Delavan Hoover, co-founder and co-CEO. Thanks for being with us, Logan.
Thank you.
Ayub Abdulrazak, co-founder and the chief technology officer of BallotWise. Thank you, Ayub.
Thank you.
Lauren Pearl, co-founder, co-CEO. Good luck with this. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you know that tomorrow the polls will close. And one way or another, we are getting to the other side. Please join us on WXXI. Tuesday evening, I'll be here. Maybe you'll be here too. And we'll go right on through together. Until then, thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.